Hey guys, Pat Devlin here with episode 7 of the PDF podcast. Today I've got another guest on, which I'm excited about. My guest today is a guy that myself and my good friend Don Nocton started following online about a year ago. Myself and Don signed up to do the kettlebell certification with Strong First, which is the world's leading kettlebell hardstyle certification. So when we signed up, we started following some guys online that were doing the course or that had done the course prior to this, and you know, we wanted to learn from these guys and see what they were doing and go to Budapest as prepared as we could. So we went over and got certified. Like I say, one of the guys we were following was the guy I have on the line, Jeff Sokol. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, Pat. First of all, I'm just honored to be talking to you. I love what you're doing there in Ireland and all around the world. You're definitely a force for fitness.
Thank you very much, sir. So we started following Jeff's stuff, and his technique with kettlebells is flawless. So we've definitely learned a lot from Jeff. I thought it'd be great to get him on the show and just kind of talk about kettlebells, the benefits, and why they're such a powerful tool. Jeff, do you want to give us some background as to how you got into the fitness industry?
Well, for me, growing up I grew up in a small town, and you know, I played baseball and football, so you know, I was around not professional coaches by any means, but I was always kind of a gym rat. Later in life, I kind of fell out of the training thing, and I allowed myself at about age 35 to get up to somewhere around 240 pounds and size 38 pants, and became pretty depressed and down on myself. And I just so happened to come across these kettlebells, and it really piqued my interest. And it was something that, you know, when we get out of shape, we're kind of afraid or intimidated to get back in the gym, you know. So for me, it was this little home gym equipment that I could kind of slowly but surely get myself back in there. And I fell in love with it, you know, absolutely fell in love with it. I started seeing results right away, and I just kept diving deeper and deeper into the practice. And you know, 5 years later, I'm coaching it, you know.
How did you initially come across kettlebells, Jeff?
To make a long story short, I was actually in pretty much the lowest point of my life. I was really down in the dumps, and you know, I was drinking, and you know, I mean, pretty much suicidal-ish. And I fell asleep on the floor in one of my little poor me episodes, and an infomercial of all things came on. It was called Kettle Works. Some people have heard of it, kind of Ryan Shanahan, Trainer for the Stars thing.
Yeah.
And that's how I officially got into it. I ordered that DVD, but it just didn't seem right. You know, I felt like I had to have some Susan Summers tights on or something. And that led me to finding Pavel and Strong First. And that's when the journey really, really kicked off.
Cool. It's interesting you talk about that background with the mental health side of things. It's something I'm always talking about, because I find, you know, I've been there myself and I find it fascinating. Was it something that kind of pulled you out of this, you know, dark place very quickly, the kettlebells, or how did it go? Did you ease yourself into it, or did you just immerse yourself in kettlebells?
Well, I tell you what, it was crucial. Pat, I tell people all the time, you know, they ask me, why are you so passionate about this stuff, you know, and you know, I say this stuff not only transformed my body, but it saved my life, you know, because like you say, it really got me back on that, you know, feeling positive about myself, you know, getting moving again, just exercising alone, you know, that's the best medicine, you know. When a guy gets down in his dumps and locks himself in the living room, you know, that's good for nobody. So it was basically a kickstart, and it was something that I didn't find boring. You know, my mind was mentally engaged all the time. It wasn't just sitting on a machine or walking on a treadmill. It's like, man, I have to think about this stuff, you know. So as I was exercising, my mind was thinking about the process, and it, you know, it really helped in taking me away from the dark thoughts that I was having at the time. Sure. You know.
So you're 240 pounds. What do you weigh now, Jeff?
I'm right about 185 pounds. You know, definitely in the best shape of my life at age 40. I've dealt with back issues. I got injured in the military when I was young, and when I was out of shape, I basically, if I would sneeze wrong, my back would go out. I'd be out for weeks. Once I got into the kettlebells, I can honestly tell you that my back hasn't been out in over 5 years.
Nice. What's the mentality, Jeff, when you are 240 pounds and you're going to your first class? How were you feeling? Were you apprehensive? Was it a killer? How was the first session?
Well, I'll tell you, I was intimidated, right? I really didn't know what to expect. I was doing it on my own, and I really thought that this you know, once I started looking at the RKC stuff back then, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, these guys are monsters, and you know, how will I ever do this? And I was lucky enough to have Andre Yushi Chang here in Seattle, and what really got me going was seeking a coach. You know, I was doing okay in my own living room and whatnot, but once I seeked out a coach, I really learned about the process of it, and that's I think that's important. You know, it's a great thing to kind of discover on your own, but to really get the most out of it, it's a beautiful movement, but it's a movement that needs to be done properly. Yeah. So once I started the coaching on it, that really that took the intimidation out of it, and it made me realize that, hey, you know, I can do this, and I can do it right.
Nice. So what's the timeline, Jeff? How fast did the weight come off? How fast did you look at becoming an instructor yourself, and how did it all unfold?
Well, I would say that I was experimenting with that little Kettleworks program. I had a little blue rubber-coated 20-pound kettlebell, and that's what I started with. You know, now I'm doing Turkish get-ups with the Beast, you know, so it's been quite a journey. But I just dove into those DVDs, and, you know, it was 30 minutes a day, just jumped right in. And I would say about 6 months into that, I introduced it to a friend of mine, which was one of my old gym rats, and he saw the benefits of it as well. But like me, it just wasn't strong enough for us, I guess, this program. And that's when we discovered the Strong First deal. And once I discovered Strong First, I knew right away that I needed to get out of this this career that I was in that was bringing me down, and do something I was passionate about. So once I discovered Pavel and Andrea, I would say a year into picking up my first kettlebell, I became an HKC, and then I'd set the goal to be an RKC after that. So it was about 2 years of the process before I actually got myself moving and strong enough to attend the level one RKC certification.
Cool. Jeff, for someone listening that would be, you know, would know what a kettlebell is, or they'd be familiar with seeing kettlebells because they've become a bit of a craze at times, but doesn't know too much about them, why kettlebells? What's the appeal, or, you know, what's the advantages of using a kettlebell or kettlebells?
Well, for me, once you get tools in your toolbox and you know, you're learning how to use these things, it's such an efficient workout, full body workout, where you don't have to spend hours in the gym just focusing at one point of your body. The design of the kettlebell, it's your body's the machine, and the kettlebell's the tool, you know, versus, you know, going into some random machine at the gym and you got a 6 foot guy and a 4 foot guy in this machine. You know, I just don't see that as productive, even though I did it for years. But the simplicity, Pat, you know, it can be done in a half an hour with some mobility warm up and cool downs a few times a week, with kettlebell swings and Turkish get ups and goblet squats. Heck, you can become bulletproof real quick.
talk about the swing, Jeff. So, to the uneducated viewer of a kettlebell swing, they might be wondering what's going on. And do you want to talk about some of the advantages that come with the swing, and, so you know, why it's such a powerful move?
Well, there's a there's a major ballistics component to it, and strength, you know. So basically, I look at it as, well, this is an American football thing, but as a linebacker, as a defensive player, the strongest position that we have is a linebacker position, where we're in this hinge and we explode out of this hinge. Probably one of the most athletic movements out there that relates to pretty much all sports. So it's the ability to maintain this core stability while having this bell, as some people call it, but bell that's trying to throw you all over the place, and being able to tame that kettlebell through a ballistic movement when that kettlebell is trying to pull you off balance. It's just a very dynamic and explosive movement.
Cool. You were kind of mentioning, I think, Jeff, obviously the kettlebell is a very powerful tool, but it's important that people are getting the right instruction. Something you'll come across, I think, is people that'll complain about putting their back out doing the swing, and you've said the opposite, that, you know, you've had no problems with your back since getting into the kettlebells. Talk about the benefits, you know, for the posterior chain from the swing.
Well, when it's done correctly, the focus is on maintaining this the strong, stable core platform, you know, keeping that pelvis tucked under, keeping that core nice and tight and engaged. Where people get hurt, Pat, I believe, is that just that they don't have the technique down. They're hinging too early in the movement. They're losing this core stability as they go into the hinge. So train properly from the ground up. It really helps you integrate that whole core and that posterior chain. And being able to keep that together during a ballistic movement is crucial for human development and strength, you know, in my opinion.
Cool. So, Jeff, when a client comes to you looking at doing kettlebells, where do you start? What's the first lesson?
Well, I typically start with teaching the deadlift. You know, the swing is basically nothing but a perfect deadlift that's done ballistically. And the bell's in your hip instead of on the ground, right? So I make sure a client understands how to root their feet in the ground, how to maintain this shoulders above hips, hips above knees, hinging position, not a squat position, and connect their breathing throughout this movement of the deadlift. And I believe that once you you really understand the deadlift, then I move them into the swing. Cool. You know, but I always start with the deadlift, regardless. That teaches the hinge for the swing.
I think the hinge is one of the most powerful things you get from the Strong First certification, because the cheaper certifications and the weaker, you know, the secondary ones, you're looking at a squat swing, aren't you? You're doing more of a squatting motion during the swing. That's something you commonly see with less experienced instructors.
It is. And what I like about Strong First, you know, I had a client the other day that he'd gone to a kettlebell course, and it kind of stuck with me. He before he left, he told me, he goes, you know, this was a whole different approach. He goes, you taught me how to move my body, and the kettlebell did what it was supposed to do, versus I was learned what to do with this kettlebell, and I was never taught what to do with my body, you know? Yeah. And I think that's where we stand above, is we're so technique driven. We could really care less about, if you can do 5,000 reps in 10 minutes, you know, I'd rather see 10 perfect reps. You know, you're going to get a lot more out of that.
Yes. The Turkish get up. Okay. Another movement that's, you know, obviously a very powerful one. I think to the uneducated viewer, again, it's hard to know what's going on. What's the benefits here of the Turkish get up?
You name it, right? I mean, when are we completely at a point in our life where we need assistance is when we can't get off the ground, right? Mm-hmm. I got a 73-year-old client that, through training the Turkish get up, she's doing 14-pound full, beautiful form Turkish get up. So I believe it trains us to, you know, to move properly, to get ourselves up off the ground first and foremost, you know. And then when you start adding weight to this thing, you know, you're holding the kettlebell over your head, your shoulder mobility is getting worked, your ankle mobility has to line up to pull off this move, your core integrity has to be strong. But, you know, overall, it's just a pattern of movement that that is functional for us human beings of all ages, you know.
I think Dan John talks about that kind of thing, doesn't he? He talks about learning to fall. You know, some people will forget everything he taught them, but when they get to elderly age, they remember that he taught them how to do a break fall or how to roll and do gymnastics and this kind of stuff. So it's interesting you talk about the functional movement and something that's going to change lives in years to come, you know, when they're able to get up by themselves and everything else. So very powerful.
And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, in my opinion. You know, I want to train people to be durable. You know, to be when they wake up in the morning. Hey, you want to go skiing, Marjana? Well, you know, I really don't know how to ski, but my body's ready because I've trained my body to pretty much do anything. You know, maybe she can't lift a car, but you know, she can get the most out of life because she moves well and she's strong. You know, I mean, bottom line, everything in life is easier when you're strong. Yes. You know, period.
Do you work solely with kettlebells, or do you do much barbell work, or?
You know, Pat, to be completely honest, for the last 5 years, I've been pretty much strictly kettlebells. I'm kind of a technician by nature, so I got my level one certification and I dove right into these moves. You know, I wanted to get as efficient as possible as I could with these things, so not only could I become a better practitioner, but I could teach this to other people, you know, properly. So I've been pretty much strictly kettlebell, but now that the barbell stuff is coming around in the Strong First, I have started adding a little bit of deadlifts in and things like this, but we're talking 99% of my stuff is primal movement and kettlebells, body weight stuff.
Talk a little bit about primal movement, Jeff, for people that wouldn't be familiar with it.
Oh, I'm loving it. It's a, you know, oftentimes we got to pretty much regress movement to improve movement. You know, we have a lot of people out there that are just forgetting how to move. So, Primal Move is kind of based on the, some of these people might not know about this, but the functional movement system, but it's a way of getting us moving again, you know, going back to childhood, rolling around on the ground, getting connected back with the ground again, learning how to crawl, learning how to move. It's a beautiful thing, and it's low impact. And, I have 9-year-old clients that are crawling around. I have 73-year-old clients that are crawling around. It's a, Peter Lakatos created this system, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think everybody needs to jump on board with this, to be honest.
It's something I'm always talking about is, you know, the mistake you see in commercial gyms where people are spending their life sat down at the office desk and at the kitchen table and in front of the TV, and then they go to the gym and sit on machines. It just seems crazy. So obviously everything we're talking about is functional movement. It's things that's going to serve you. And again, get you back to moving the way we were designed to move.
And that's right. That's right.
Squats. Talk about squats, Jeff. Benefits of squats. People know about the benefits of squats, but I think the kettlebells are a very powerful tool for teaching someone how to squat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of my favorite squats that we do is the goblet squat. It's where you grab the kettlebell by the horns and you pull yourself down into a nice deep squat and charge your core to get back out of it. Obviously a beautiful movement for strength, but you know, keeping that hip mobility there is crucial. We tend to lose a lot of mobility in our hips as we age, or as you're 20 years old and just sitting in front of the PlayStation all day as well, right? It really does. Age doesn't really have a matter, but the squats is a huge thing for strength and mobility. You know, no question.
Jeff, we talk about, a lot of people will use the excuse of not having the time to train. We talk about the time efficiency of using kettlebells. Someone comes to you and they've got 30 minutes three times a week to train. What's their programming? What do you put together for them?
Well, you know, obviously it all depends on their goals, you know, but someone with minimal tools, I stick with Pavel's program minimum. You know, start your warm up, go into like 5 minutes of Turkish get ups, 3 and 3, basically what that turns out to be in 5 minutes. 5 minutes of working kind of on goblet squats. They can be prying goblet squats, your regular goblet squats. I'm not saying 5 minutes steady, and 10 minutes of the deeper practice of your swing, working in some two-handed swings, maybe work in some dumbbell swings, some single swings. And I see that as a program minimum. And then from there, depending on their goals, we, you know, set up some swing ladders, set up some these little pull catch press things that we do that can be done with just one bell. It's really limitless, Pat. A lot of it's just on the goals, but I really do believe in that program minimum, and I practice it a lot. Just with that alone, people can get some serious gains.
Cool. Jeff, you talk about your own success story from, you know, dropping a lot of weight and turning your life around with kettlebells. Have you got any success stories from your clients worth mentioning?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I keep saying this number, 73 years old, because she stands out to me so much. She came to me, her name is Marjana King, and I just love her to death, but she came to me a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, and she was planning a trip to Morocco, and she was so passionate about making the best out of this trip because she was going to be with her son and all these things. And matter of fact, I get goosebumps talking about this, but she's like, Jeff, all I want to do is I want to enjoy this trip. You know, I want to be strong. I don't want to be held back. I want to get the most out of it. And, we jumped right into it. And when she first started, you know, we had the bell elevated up off the floor so she could maintain her form, and started with a 10-pound kettlebell. Before she left to Morocco, Pat, she was doing the beast, 106 pounds off of the floor with perfect form. Wow. You know, and she went on that trip and she came back and gave me the biggest hug ever and said, oh my gosh, you know, you're right. Everything in life is easier when you're strong. And it was probably one of the best moments I've had as a trainer. And it's exactly why I do what I do, you know, it's that stuff right there.
Brilliant. You talk about the change in lifestyle you had yourself, Jeff. What's it like now living your passion?
It's not easy, you know, as fitness professionals know, it's a lot of work, but this is the first time in my life that I've actually did something that I was passionate about. I've always been a hard worker. I grew up in a little logging town, you know, so I always did the knuckle dragger jobs, you know, I worked my butt off. But really for for no purpose in my mind, except for to get paid, you know, and pay the bills. But this is it's been a beautiful thing. I mean, obviously there's some ups and downs, but I'll tell you what, there's way more ups. Just seeing people walk in the gym with their head kind of low and having that tough day and leaving, slapping high fives and getting ready to go back out there and tackle the world. It's worth every struggle, every second of it. I absolutely love it. Cool. I love it.
Jeff, you talk about it's funny how things happen. You talk about seeing that infomercial just by chance and that being the kind of kick up the ass that you needed. For someone listening, that this might be the kick up the ass for them, what's the message for someone who's heavily overweight, maybe depressed, feeling down in the dumps? What do you say to that person? How are they going to turn their life around, or what's the encouragement to them?
It's a step-by-step process, you know. I started with turning it around with these kettlebell DVDs, you know. So it's just having a mission, and even if it's just walking 10 minutes in one direction and walking 10 minutes in the other direction, you know, every day, until before you know it, you're walking 15 minutes in each direction. It's just starting something, you know. It's just having the courage to start something. And if you get started, it'll grow into something else, you know. Bad habits are started real easy, but good habits can be started easy as well. You know, it's just got to be something that you make a conscious decision that I want to better myself, if not just for me, but for the people that care about me. And like I said, even if it's as simple as a walk, you know, do it, you know, and it'll change your life. You know, it's just a matter of doing it, you know.
You've obviously accomplished a lot of things, Jeff, in the last 5 years, and I'm sure before that. Have you got a process for goal setting, or how do you set your sights on new targets?
Well, some of the little things that I did, I've really become a firm believer in that the law of attraction, or you know, the positive thinking, you know, and the positive reinforcement. Like so, some of the little tricks that I did is, you know, my goal was to get down to 185 pounds, so I taped 185 pounds over my scale. You know, even when I was 240, every time I got on it, I weighed 185 pounds, right? So I started believing this. I put, you know, achievable goals and long-term goals. You know, I think some people, you know, they put these goals so far out there that that they get discouraged. Yes. But, you know, I had that far out there goal, no question. But I actually had these little stepping stones along the way, you know, like getting one belt loop. Hell, that was huge to me, you know. And seeing it as a process, you know. Too many people dive into these crash diets or these 90-day just insane programs. And you can't maintain that for a lifetime, you know. You know, you need to find something that you can sustain over a long period without, you know, breaking yourself, for yeah. Pete's sake, you know. So, you know, and it's just being realistic, you know. You're going to have ups and downs, and when the highs are high, be high, and when the lows are low, be low. But either way, try and find that medium again, you know.
Yes, yes. You're training for SFG2, the level 2 certification. What kind of training are you doing? I know you've had some injuries and stuff.
Oh, Pat, I tell you what, I'm kind of, once I found this passion, you know, I kind of realized that, you know, nothing's too small, right? So I had had this bucket list item of going commercial fishing in Alaska. You know, I always thought that was awesome. And I spent 2 months up there this summer working on a fishing boat, working my butt off.
This is like this is like Deadliest Catch, Jeff, is it?
Well, I wouldn't call it like the Deadliest Catch because we were catching salmon. Okay. You know, but it was similar in a lot of ways, you know, 18-hour days, jellyfish slamming in the face all day, just a constant grind, you know. But anyways, like a knucklehead, I wrestled a line under tension that was connected from the boat to the net, and it gave, and it won, and it about ripped my arms off my shoulders. So I've been dealing with this back injury. But the beauty of kettlebells that I found, when I got back here, my hands and stuff were so jacked up, I couldn't even swing a 16-kilogram bell without it flying out of my hand, right? So I just started over. I started doing these light Turkish get-ups. I started swinging light. I started getting things together. And these last 3 weeks, I've been swinging the bell, heavy bells. I've been swinging heavy bells, doing Turkish get-ups, and doing lots of goblet squats, jump rope and things for conditioning. And by swinging these heavy bells and not training for the snatch test particularly, I was able to do the snatch test yesterday, which is 100 snatches with a 24 kg. And that came from just training around my injury and swinging a heavy bell, you know. So it's just a beautiful thing, you know.
I think the swing translates very well across cardio wise, doesn't it? I know when we were training for Strong First, I was doing Tough Mudder the week after, which is I think 20 kilometers or something like that. Didn't do any running in preparation for it, just a snatch test and heavy swings, and it carried me through. So I think it's hard to list the benefits of the swing. There's so many.
Go ahead. Sorry, Pat.
No, you're good. Go on, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and that, like you say, it relates, you know, it's got a crossover to everything. You know, people will say, hey, can you train me for my golf game? You know, I'll be like, well, I'll just train you, but and your golf game will get better. So will your gardening. So will your jogging. You know, I mean, I don't see this as a, you know, some people may argue with me, but I don't see this as a sport specific training protocol. I see this as a, you know, you do this and you're going to find improvement in pretty much anything you do, you know, and I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yes. Okay. On top of the kettlebell training, Jeff, what was the nutritional approach when you were dropping the weight?
Well, it was kind of another one of those little twist of fate things, or a signal from friends that I was getting too big, you know, one or the other. But I never really thought much about nutrition, Pat, to tell you the truth. But I received this book. It was called Fit for Life. And for the life of me, I can't remember the author right now. But it was basically talked about food combining. You know, how to combine your whole foods to get better digestion and to digest this food through and to help your body understand what's going on there, instead of just throwing random stuff in your stomach all day and just putting your body into overload, you know. So basically, I started to understand about combining my foods properly, you know, say eating a salad with some steak and keeping out the mashed potatoes, because my body really functioned well when I just ate the steak and salad, because I believe it understands steak and salad, but you throw the potato with sour cream and bacon on it, and it kind of threw everything into a mix. Okay. And I, you know, I'd have problems digesting it, and it, you know, it'd wear me out because my body was constantly working hard to digest the garbage I was putting in. So that was the first step. And then I basically just went to the most basic of all basics. You know, if a third grader can't read the ingredient, don't eat it. And if it grows naturally or you can catch it or hunt it, it's pretty much good for you, you know. So I don't really follow any type of regimen. I just try and eat clean, you know.
Cool. So to the person that's thinking about making a start, you're telling them, you know, just take the first step and start doing something, and it's going to move you in the right direction. What about the person who's already quite fit? Maybe the gym instructors out there thinking about getting more heavily involved with kettlebells. What's their next step? Where should they begin? Is there any books or DVDs or anything you'd recommend?
You know, even if I wasn't a Strong First instructor, I would say the first thing is to go to Strong First and search out a certified instructor. That even just one time visit will set you in the right direction, no question. I'm lucky enough to travel around to a few of the local gyms here and that are looking to introduce kettlebells into their programming and holding these little 3-hour workshops, and just with these 3 hours, you know, these guys are telling me they're picking up so much that benefits them. So yes, you can learn it out of a book. Yes, you can learn it out of a DVD, but like martial arts, you know, more than likely, if you spend all your time learning out of a book or a DVD, you're going to get your butt kicked in the streets. Yeah. Right. And kettlebells, the same thing. You might be able to get pretty close, but, it's hard to beat the one-on-one instruction, you know, to get started and then run with it from there, you know. But getting dialed in at first, the foundation is hugely important.
It's an amazing weekend, the certification itself. You meet so many like-minded people and you learn just a crazy amount in the couple of days. What about a guy that's getting ready for SFG1? What kind of advice would you give him with his training or her with her training?
Well, the SFG1... there's a lot of volume throughout that weekend, you know, and so of course it's getting comfortable with your snatch size bells. You know, for men it's the 24 kilograms and for women it's the 16s, and not necessarily focusing strictly on that darn snatch test. You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes is people just get so caught up with that snatch test that they forget about, you know, a lot of the double bell work that's required. Yeah, sure, the test is not a lot of reps, but, you know, it's a whole weekend of doing this stuff. So, you know, preparing for some volume, of course, you know, but just not getting so caught up in that snatch test that you forget everything else. And very importantly is hand care. You know, as a kettlebeller, hand care is crucial. You know, you start ripping your hands in training, that's going to take away from training time. So, taking that time to tend to your hands as well as learning the techniques and developing the strength and endurance.
Cool. Jeff, it's been brilliant. Where can people find out more about you, Jeff, or where can they get your, I would definitely recommend people check out your videos because Jeff's technique is as flawless as I've seen. Where can people find out more, Jeff?
Well, I just opened up a little website. It's www.sokolstrong.com. I'm trying to improve that every day, but I do have some videos on there for people to get to. And, you know, I do have a YouTube channel. And also, you know, I train out of a very elite studio in Seattle. I mean, it's awesome, full of amazing training. So people should definitely look into Kettability for a great resource for training. Andrea Chang and Kevin Knapp and the rest of the crew there are just amazing trainers, and they're always putting out quality information.
Cool. I'm hoping to travel lots in 2014. So if I get out your side, I'll definitely be there. Jeff, thanks a million for taking the call today. I've gotten a lot from it. I hope the viewers have, or the listeners have as well. Best of luck with the training for SFG2.
Oh, I appreciate it, Pat. And I'm pulling for you, man. Really, you really inspire me to become a better businessman and coach myself. And you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. It means a lot.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll speak to you all soon.